Great Country Q94. It's Coffee with Kyle with Prairie du Chien Police Chief Kyle Tinor. It is our extended version.
Yeah, two in July.
Way to go, us.
I know.
But there's a lot going on.
Yeah, this world is...
it's a little crazy.
Goodness sakes.
And I'm not saying this is something crazy, but it was kind of funny. Coffee with Kyle aired last week on Saturday morning, and then I was over at the Omaha County Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And even on Friday night, but Saturday too, I had a number of people come up to me and say, oh, I thought maybe you would talk about the Lansing New Albion situation on Coffee with Kyle, or is that too far out of your listening area? And I joked it wasn't. I said, but I guess I didn't know it was happening.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, you know, nefarious or anything,
no.
But, you know, Lansing and New Albion had a chief and two officers on their police force. The chief took another job, and then the two officers resigned, essentially leaving them with no police force.
Yeah.
Which then puts more pressure on the Almaquis County Sheriff's Department.
Right.
To then cover those jurisdictions where they typically would have had help.
Yeah.
Even the Sheriff's Department could have gotten help from those three officers, vice versa.
Yep.
And I don't want to talk about that necessarily specifically, but you and I have been doing this show now going on 5 years.
Yeah.
We just, on the on-air interview, talked with your newest hire,
yep,
Riley Scott.
Yep.
I don't think in the time that we've been doing this, have you been at full staff for more than a few months?
I was full staff for 12 days last January. So 2023, I was full staff for 12 days in January.
Whoa.
And then somebody resigned and took a job in the private sector. Shortly after that, somebody resigned and went to another agency that they were actually working at the time. Both jobs full time. And then somebody left and went to the Department of Corrections. So yeah, I mean, it's a struggle nationwide. The reality is that
it's not unique to Almaquis County.
No, definitely not. And you know, I don't know all the details in Lansing and New Albion or Almaquis County by any means, but the headlines of entire police department resigns, is nothing new. It really
no.
isn't. And again, you mentioned this, it's not because, you know, something bad happened or, you know, whatever. It's because you have a staff of three or four people, and those three or four people are trained, qualified, competent people. Those three or four people are needed by agencies everywhere in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a job offer or an opportunity presents itself that might be a little more attractive, they jump ship and they go to those more attractive jobs. And now, you know, more attractive means a lot of different things. It could be money, right? But money is not the sole motivator. However, agencies all over the state of Wisconsin and really nationally are racing to see who can pay the most and,
mm-hmm,
you know, garner the most attention that way. You know, Wisconsin Department of Corrections, it gave huge raises last year to their correctional staff. And, you know, that trickles down to their staff in general as well. And same with the State Patrol. State Patrol in Wisconsin just got a pretty significant raise through bargaining. So that makes all of our jobs more difficult in keeping people. And so then what do you do? What do you, you know, what do you change to try to keep people? Is it health insurance? Is it, you know, incentive pays? Is it, you know, take home cars? Is it, you know, hours, a schedule? You know, you try to work through all of those things to try to figure out what keeps people, you know, at your department and you know, want to stay working. And you know, Riley is a good example. You know, he came from Anamosa State Prison over in Iowa, not because he was an inmate, because he worked there and was interested in getting in law enforcement, and came in, gave us a really good interview. You know, his background check panned out, he passed all the testing, and we told him at that time, hey, listen, you know, you have to go through the academy, and we won't employ somebody in one of those positions until they've completed the academy. And so it was a journey for all of us. It was the first time we had done that, and it was, you know, something new for him as well. So he drove back and forth from Strawberry Point, Iowa,
yeah,
to Fenimore every day. Some of the mornings he had exercise at 6:30 in the morning in Fenimore. So he would have had to leave Strawberry Point, I don't know, hour and a half?
4:30, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he is one of the examples of he wants to work here. And, you know, we've had private conversations about what drew him to the police department. And, you know, I respect that. And he's going to have a lot of fun. We allow our cops to have a lot of fun.
That is a job requirement.
And we allow our cops to have a lot of autonomy. You can kind of make your day how you want your day to turn out until the next call for service. But if you want to run traffic, you can run traffic. If you want to investigate the last burglary that happened last night, you can go out and do that investigation. If you want to interview that sexual assault, you know, suspect or victim, and you know you're qualified to do that, we'll let you do that. We offer our cops a lot of training. You know, Wisconsin requires 24 hours of recertification training every year. I think we average between 80 and 90 hours per officer. Some officers have 200 hours, some officers have 30 hours, but the vast majority of our officers have between 80 and 90 hours of training. Cops really like that. That's an incentive for them to stick around and, you know, get that experience and training. So I don't know the details of Lansing and New Albany, but let's talk about the sheriff's office there. Overnight,
yeah,
their call volume is going to increase because they're now policing two communities that they had no expectations of having to answer calls to. So
yeah, they used to be able to, well, okay, this area is covered by their PD.
Yep.
You know, yes, we'll still have a presence and we'll be there to help you, but no, now this is our jurisdiction.
I mean, if you're just like Pertusheen, for instance, we have about 9,000 CAD incidents a year. And so
what's a CAD incident?
A computer aided dispatch incident. Okay. So that's traffic stops, follow ups, well checks, that's calls for service, that's burglaries, that's criminal offenses, mm-hmm. what have you. About 9,000 of those a year, resulting in about 2,800 cases.
Okay.
So, I mean, you think of that in the aspect of, you know, locally here, if all 12 of my cops said, you know what, we're done. We're going to go work at, you know, XYZ. Mm-hmm. We're going to go deliver, you know, donuts to Quick Trip. That would be an increase in a lot of calls for service for the Crawford County Sheriff's Office. And I don't know that they could absorb that overnight. I think it would be an adjustment. And not only that, but there's certain aspects of policing in Pertusheen that are different. We have local ordinances that are enforced by our police staff. Those ordinances are different for the county. They're, you know, they don't have those same ordinances. So it's just different. It's just different expectation and, you know, those types of things. So it's, I don't want to experience that. That's not something that I look forward to experiencing, but it's not very, uncommon anymore. So.
Well, and you know, we've talked about this over the course of the last 4.5 years about the shortage of police officers. Yep. And finding good police officers, you know, and when you have a shortage, it's very easy for somebody who, you know, yeah, I like what I'm doing, but you know what, I'm working second shift and I like it, but I don't like it. And all of a sudden, you know, XYZ neighboring community offers you now a first shift and, you're going to get $1,000 bonus if you come here or whatnot. You know, it may not be a sign of, oh, that's a bad agency to work for.
Right.
It's just, oh, this was a better opportunity or suited my needs in this exact moment. On the flip side, and kind of moving into the next thing I want to talk about is when you have a shortage of police officers, it's becomes harder to hire quality officers.
Yeah, there's a
fine line there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you might be alluding to the Illinois shooting, maybe.
I was gonna get there.
Yeah, and so you know, in the news, in the
without
last
throwing
couple
an
weeks,
officer under
yeah,
the bus.
No, not at all. I mean, he has been charged with murder, but in the last couple weeks, there's been a story of a lady who was shot in Southern Illinois by a deputy. She was not armed with a pot of boiling water. There's dash or body cam video out there of what we're referring to. And after this deputy was arrested, it was revealed that he'd worked for 6 agencies in 3 years or 4 years, something along those lines. He moved from agency to agency to agency in a short period of time. Again, you can read between the lines and figure that out. You know, for me, somebody who's hiring, you know, cops, that's a red flag for me. You know, is it you or is it all 6 agencies? You know, is it your problem? I was told a story a long time ago and I'll use this for family friendly radio, but if you see three jerks in a day, you're probably the jerk, right? If you see six departments that are, you know, not meeting your needs, maybe it's you. It could be you, right?
Yes.
It could be a time to look in the mirror. And so you really have to balance that. You have to balance your standard on what you're looking for. And we are looking for very specific police officers. That's my my job as a chief is to maintain a culture of service to our community. Riley Scott fits that mold. He is, you know, he came in and talked about, hey, I really want to get involved in the community. I want to stop at parks. His first field training officer is Hope Meyer, and she is notorious for stopping at parks and stopping at schools and playing with kids and, you know, getting involved in those types of things. So, you know, we're looking for those specific qualities in our police officers, and we will interview everybody. We will give a chance to everybody to interview with us. And, you know, if one of our first steps is we have an officer panel that does the first interview. And so our officers hold a huge weight in who we move through the process because they have to work with those folks, right? And so I really trust our officers in the questions that they ask and the responses that they get to then recommend to me and our command staff, hey, this is really somebody we should look at and consider interviewing for a second interview. We did do a conditional offer to another police officer about 10 days ago. I'm not prepared to share his name at this point in time, but he just graduated from UW-Platteville, has a criminal justice degree from UW-Platteville, and is in the military and is looking for work and wants to be a police officer. But again, he selected the city of Prairie du Chien because he likes what we do and our involvement in those types of things. And that's really my staff and what they get themselves into. Proactive in the community is important. And he just is a well-rounded person by all accounts. He's going to have to go through some more testing, background checks, psychological exams, those types of things. But, you know, he's well on his way to getting a good career in law enforcement. And again, he fits the mold. He met the requirements that we have for a candidate for employment. And you can't lower those requirements. This is not the time to lower those requirements.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you are lucky in that, you know, you have, what do I want to say, a core group of officers that are very, very good.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to speak to your predecessor, but, you know, you walked into a situation where you had a good core group of officers.
Yes. Yep.
You did not have to rebuild from the ground up.
No.
You didn't walk into a mess of an agency.
No.
and I'm not taking away from this, but you have a very distinct advantage that you can pick and choose who you want as your officers.
Right.
You know, and you have set a standard, and that was upheld by the officers that are already there.
Yes, for sure. Well, this has been said to me many times over the last, you know, I said we were full staff for 12 days in 2023. My cops would rather work with less people than the wrong people.
That's what I was just going to say. You have officers with integrity currently that are willing to, you know what, I would rather work a few extra shifts and know who I'm working with. I can trust who I'm working with. Yep. You know, again, and that for your new hires coming in and looking at those officers and going, yes, I want to work with these people. Yep. You know, that I don't want to say you're really lucky in that.
Yeah.
But you are very lucky.
I'm very lucky.
You're very lucky. You know, some agencies maybe don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
Or they're, you know, we just need a body.
Yeah.
You know, even for me here at the radio station, you know, we've been short staffed for a year. But in the environment that we work in, we're not just going to hire a body.
Right.
You know, we want somebody that fits in with our culture. We want somebody that fits in with what we think we're doing. And, you know, it's not easy to necessarily find that person either. So I understand where it's coming from. Now, there are other radio stations that would just put anybody on the air.
Yeah.
That's not what, you know, we want to do. So instead, all of us have had to work more.
Yeah.
And we're fine with that. You know, but, and I have no idea about any instance of what was happening in this department in Southern Illinois.
Right.
I just know Illinois probably has lower standards anyway because it's Illinois.
Yeah, they're further south.
We can throw in a dig at Illinois, but you know what allowed for this? How we talk about this in a roundabout way sometime, but I think maybe we could address that, like bad cops.
Yeah, for sure. And
there are bad radio DJs.
Yeah,
there's bad cops.
Yeah, and definitely. I watched this body cam video, and I'm sure maybe some of your listeners have, and if they haven't, just Google it. Lady with a pot of boiling water gets shot by a sheriff's deputy. So in the video, they're called to the scene because this lady reports a prowler in her at her home. Two deputies arrive. They don't find a prowler. Very clear that there may be some mental health issues going on with the reporting party in hearing or believing that there's somebody outside of her house. And when the cops work through the fact that there is no prowler, they then begin questioning the mental capacity of this woman. And that questioning continues to the point where one of the deputies notices that there's a pot of water on the stove and it's boiling. And they bring that to the attention, and the lady asks, can I go grab this pot of water or shut this water off or shut this stove off? And the deputy says, yeah, go ahead and grab that pot of water. And she grabs the pot of water, and some statement is made. I can't hear it on some statement is made to the effect of, throwing the water on the deputy. And the deputy says, don't do that. If you do that, I'm going to shoot you. His words are different than that, but he says, if you do that, I'm going to shoot you.
That's the point.
And then he closes the distance between her and him, and she has the water, and he ends up shooting her and killing her. From my perspective, there's a couple things. And again, this goes back to our training as police officers.
Yeah.
One, you're there for a prowler, and once you determine that a prowler doesn't exist, yes, you want to check this lady's welfare, but it's not against the law to be mentally ill. That's not an arrestable offense, right? In Wisconsin, you have to be an immediate threat of death, or you're either going to kill yourself or kill somebody else, homicidal or suicidal, immediately. From the body camera, it looks like she can care for herself. Her house is not in disarray. Yeah, you could maybe argue it's messy, but it's not in disarray. She's eating. She's able to, urinate and defecate on her own. It's not like she needs help on that type of stuff. And so at some point in time, you have to really ask yourself, why are we still here?
Yeah.
As police officers, from our standpoint, that might be a referral to a mental health professional, to Crawford County Human Services, to say, hey, you might want to follow up with this person. They may be in need of mental health services. And then my second point is, when you discover the pot of boiling water, why allow her to grab that pot of boiling water? It just blows my mind. I don't understand why you would do that.
Yeah.
You're introducing
a weapon,
quote unquote, a weapon to her, right? It's kind of like, if I walk into a house and I see a knife that's outside of its sheath, I'm not going to ask the person there, hey, would you put that sheath on that knife? Because I'm now arming somebody, right?
Yes.
I'm going to walk over, I'm going to put the sheath on the knife, and I'm going to place it someplace that I know I can control it, right? In Citizens Academy, we run a scenario where we have a fake handgun in the waistband of a suspect, quote-unquote suspect, in the scenario. Some citizens in the Citizens Academy will tell us, drop that gun. Well, that's the last thing you want them to do, because you're...
Because then they're putting it in their hand.
They're now moving their hand to their gun, and you are now introducing a deadly force scenario, right? And so, control of that weapon is important, but control by me, by the police officer. I don't know why.
Well, we know you love being in control.
Well, the thing is I live in the world where a lack of control can lead
to some
very severe things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think why I enjoy doing this show after 4.5, going on 5 years now, is that I always see instances like this, or I see a scenario or something that's happened, and my immediate thought is, I need to ask Kyle about this, because he's going to present this in a way that is so different from what I think of it,
right?
And will make far more sense. So you and I even talked about this situation off air, because I'm going, well, why is this officer shooting this woman in the back? Like, that just, how did it get here? And then you always kind of break it down, and I'm like, oh, here's where the failure happened, and how you could you know, how a, I don't want to say good versus bad cop, but more trained or more aware cop would have been de-escalate this situation. We don't get to this point.
Why do we close the distance between the lady grabbing the pot of boiling water and ourselves? Why do we bring ourselves closer to that? I haven't figured that. I don't know all the details of this because I'm not going to pretend to. I've watched the body camera of, you know, a few times. But again, I get this complaint, you know, of officers that stop vehicles. I have to start from the very initial, why did they turn their lights on?
Yes.
I don't look at it from the perspective of, okay, they're at the door, now what, right? I have to go back to were they legally reasonable in flipping the switch to turn their lights on, right? And that's where I have to start from. And that's really where you have to start from these videos. What is their legal authority to be there? Does it end at some point in time? And I would make an argument that maybe
it does.
Maybe there was a time where they really didn't need to be there anymore. And so then you wonder, okay, when the pot of boiling water shows itself, why allow, you know, a potentially mentally ill person to then have themselves with a pot of boiling water that can hurt if it hits you, right? If you get boiling water thrown on you, that hurts. But why put yourself in that scenario? And so, you know, it's easy for us, a Monday morning quarterback, it's easy for us to see this through 2020 view now, but it's things, you know, it's things that I talk about my office because I want my cops to have every one of those scenarios played out in their mind. Not all of them are going to be the same, but at least have yourself tuned in to, okay, next time I walk into a house for a welfare check on somebody who's possibly having a mental health crisis,
here's things to not do.
Should I be aware of a pot of boiling water, and should I go shut that off and not allow them to? Those are things that should cross your mind, and you should be pre-prepared for those things.
Well, now going back to the big picture and what, you know, we previously discussed about hiring and how difficult it is to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this before too. You know, policing is a job where everybody has an opinion on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody sees the lights and sirens. Why did they do that? Why are they doing that? You're already in a job where you have public scrutiny. We've talked about this a lot. Then you have an instance like this happen where there's not a lot of explanation as to why it happened.
Yep.
You can't, even as, you know, a police, we just sat there and for 10 minutes going, I don't know why this happened.
Yeah.
So to the public, that's kind of the message too of, I don't know why this happened. So to the general public, one, they're judging police officers.
Yep.
So two, why would you want to be a police officer when you know that any mistake you make on the job is going to be scrutinized by the general public?
Yeah, every one of these incidents.
This is what makes your job hard.
Makes it that much harder to find people that want to sign up to do this. And I've said this before, maybe on this show, definitely in other presentations. Give me another profession that is willing and does wear a camera on their chest and in the vehicle that they drive all day long.
I just have a microphone on.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not on all day long.
It's one of the very few professions. I don't know that. I mean, let's propose it. Let's say, let's go into a clinic and ask doctors to wear a body camera all day long while they interact with their clients. Let's ask teachers.
Yeah.
Do they want a camera?
Teachers
in there?
Probably would. To be honest, that might be one profession where they wish they did.
I think I'm in a profession that initially we were like, no way. And now that we've had them and that they have proven our points so many times and held bad cops accountable.
Yes.
That we're probably getting there, right? But there's other professions that are going to say, there is no way I'm going to wear that body camera throughout my day.
My body camera footage would be really, really, really boring.
Yeah, and you're not going to have a bunch of TV shows on it. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe there's a reality show, the spinoff that we can do for radio hosting. But, you know, again, it's one of those aspects of the job. I'm okay with scrutiny. I'm in this job for to be, you know, have that scrutiny. That's why I do this show.
You get thick skin.
But at the same time, we have to deal with realities as well. And I don't know. I mean, I've mentioned this on air before. I don't walk into 3M and tell an engineer how to make a Post-it note because I don't know the first thing about Post-its, glue, engineering, or 3M.
But everybody wants to tell you how to do your job.
Yeah, the flip side is I want the engineer at 3M that makes post-it notes to withhold judgment and say, I don't know the first thing about driving a squad car, or, you know, pots of boiling water, or, you know, what I should do here.
Well, again, you're setting me up with such great segues. It's almost like we've done this before. Okay. Speaking of public scrutiny and everybody having an opinion and the internet running wild.
Okay.
Everybody has an opinion on suddenly the United States Secret Service.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to know how to cover or not cover an assassination attempt. It's amazing how quickly we all became Secret Service experts.
So for the record, Secret Service agent is my dream job. If I could do one thing, if I could do something when I grow up, it would be a Secret Service agent.
Well, I always wanted to be president. Yeah. So if I make it to presidency, I'll hire you as my Secret apparently Service card.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I've only been a part of one protection detail. George W. Bush came here early on in my career, spoke at Cabela's. I was assigned to the front parking lot, the front employee parking lot, for what felt like an eternity, but definitely had my sunburn and everything else the rest of the day. Because I didn't know. Nobody told us where we were going to be. So initially, when that all kicked off, I'm sitting in my living room, and they're like, oh, this has got to be a conspiracy. The local authorities and some, you know, they had to conspire and allow this guy to do that. Well, first of all, local authorities don't have a clue where we're going to be. It was never disclosed to me within 2 hours of me walking out the door of the police department where I was going to be assigned that day. So for me to prep anybody of, hey, I'm going to be here, you should do this, just isn't a thing. It's just not. Also, the whole communication thing. Like, what happens is that a command post is set up, and so everybody has the ability to communicate with everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've touched on the C word a lot over the past 5 years.
Yes.
Communication is important, right?
Yes.
And when things are out of place, you have to call things that are out of place. Like, you can't say, oh, I think somebody's on a bicycle in a restricted area. Oh, I think they might be armed. Oh, maybe they're climbing up I think they're climbing up a building. Those have to be like certainties. Like, oh, yes, we have somebody in the perimeter who's not been checked. They're riding a bicycle. They're carrying a firearm. Should there be a firearm in this close proximity to this dignitary? You know, those types of things should cross people's minds. I don't know. The other thing is we were literally probably an inch from writing history differently.
Well, complete chaos.
Yeah.
If we think we're in chaos now, you know, we discussed that, and it's just...
Think of where we've come in the last month. We came from a debate... And a questioning on whether a candidate should stay in the race, to that candidate saying, I am absolutely not going to drop out. I'm in this for the long haul, to an attempted assassination attempt on the other guy, to a COVID diagnosis, to I'm going to drop out of the race, to now we have another potential we don't even know yet. It's just, you can't write this stuff.
I was going to say, it's crazy. It is insane.
Yeah.
All of the things that have happened in like a month's time.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually, and again, if he doesn't turn his head, it's a completely different
story.
Conversation.
Yeah, completely different story.
None of this is, you can judge the Secret Service for the way that they didn't cover him.
Yeah.
But also I was watching it and I'm like, I don't think he knows what's happening. And he's wondering, like, why are they trying to cover me and, like, poking his head up?
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But the thing is, like, again, find somebody who's willing to put themselves between Donald Trump and a bullet. Like, just finding somebody that's willing to do that and then have the wherewithal to escort him off the stage and to the vehicle that's waiting and be able to... you know, compartmentalize all of that stuff into action. Well, and there's a lot of critiques of the Secret Service agents and not being able to put your gun in the holster. Listen, folks, if you haven't been through stress inoculation training where you have like somebody potentially shooting at you and there's thousands of people that are dependent on you, on their safety,
You might miss the holster.
You might miss the holster. And it's just it is amazing to me the number of highly trained, highly skilled, and they're out there. I get it. There's people that spend a lot of time on the range. Here's I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but probably, well, when the Columbia prostitute story broke of the Secret Service years ago, I don't know if you followed that or not, but 12, 15 years ago, Secret Service was under the microscope, and there was a C-SPAN. I don't know if you watched C-SPAN. On C-SPAN, there was a congressional hearing at that point in time where they were talking about the Secret Service and how they were getting wrapped up into this Columbia prostitution ring type thing. And then at the same time, there was somebody who breached the White House grounds. Mm-hmm. And so there's a multitude of things going on. But during that testimony, I don't remember exact details, but during that testimony, the Secret Service revealed that their agents received, I want to say it was an average, the total average of training that their Secret Service received in a year was like 12 hours. It was something just crazy low. And I'm just a cop in Prairie du Chien, right? And I think I mentioned that, you know, we average 80 to 90 hours of training per year. But I think the Secret Service is probably more important than what we are. They probably have a more important job. But you can't expect results in your favor when you're training your people for 12 hours a year.
You would think, and, you know, we've talked about this when I went through the Citizens Academy, you know, you do scenarios.
Yeah.
I know you and your staff have done a lot of scenarios about, you know, bad things like school shootings and stuff like that. You know,
but when it actually
when
happens,
the Secret Service has, you know, obviously trained for assassination attempts, you know, but the last time a president was, or a, you know, official had an assassination attempt was what, Reagan?
Yeah.
There are Secret Service that could have not been alive when that happened.
I would bet you that I would bet you of the Secret Service that were on scene probably weren't alive at the time.
Or toddlers.
Yeah. Really.
They were in our age bracket. Yeah. We were toddlers.
Yeah.
When the attempt on Reagan. Well,
there were definitely Secret Service agents on scene that I saw that were definitely not born at that time. Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things like you train for it.
Yeah.
But there's a very big difference between training for it and it actually happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hopefully, I mean, obviously the Secret Service director has now resigned.
What?
Is it one of those times?
Why did she even go to Congress and take that for a day? Just resign. Like, she's going to have a career outside of the Secret Service.
I was going to say, I don't know if she thought
she's gonna
that
be
maybe
able to,
she could go out with dignity
she's
from
gonna
that.
Find, she's going to find another job. But that's just the reality. Why put yourself through that?
Yeah. Either way, I think it's one of those things that I immediately watched it and thought, how did this happen?
Yeah.
How many things happened throughout the day of that?
Yeah. Failures.
How many failures?
How many failures
happened
to make this happen?
And I joke. My immediate thought was, I'm gonna have to talk to Kyle with this because he's gonna, you know, one of those things where you look at it from your perspective in law enforcement, having done the training, having been in such, you know, you've been in high stress situations like this. I don't get a lot of high stress situations at the radio station. I mean, sometimes I have like
an outage.
Sometimes I have an outage. Sometimes I have like 6 seconds till I need to talk and I don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But I'm normally just as surprised as everybody else then what comes out of my mouth. that is vastly different. There is zero life or death threat at that. My stressful situations are vastly different than your stressful situations or any law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
So I can look at a situation and see it with my eyes of just a average US citizen.
Yep.
And then when I talk to you, it becomes, oh, this is through the lens of a law enforcement officer. They see things very differently.
Yeah. We haven't had a presidential visit since George W. Bush at Cabela's. And quite frankly, I'm very happy with that.
Because, I mean, especially in heightened political times, it was a very different time with George W. Bush.
I'm very happy that we do not have a bunch of politics pounding on our door wanting to visit Pretty Sheen. I'm not opposed to it. I think it would be great for Pretty Sheen, but
there is an election in November.
Oh, my goodness.
Wisconsin is a swing state.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear all that stuff. Actually, I was just going through some of my belongings at my house, and I found my Gore Bush sign from when – not Gore Bush. I'm sorry. Clinton Gore sign.
Oh.
From when Bill Clinton and Al Gore came through Pretty Sheen. And I have both their signatures on it, too.
Ooh.
And that was right downtown. That was right outside of Zach's, the old restaurant downtown.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when George W. Bush came to East Elementary and walked on.
I was wrong. I did a protection with the Secret Service when Barack Obama visited El Cader.
Oh, okay.
Sat on the Turkey River in camouflage, and I think, if I my memory strikes me right, he was so excited to be back in the great state of Illinois. And he was in El Cader.
It's tricky to figure out what side of the Mississippi
you're on. Those
guys
travel so much. Give them a break, right?
I feel like we covered a lot of topics. Of course, next weekend.
Well, my only takeaway from our topic that we just talked about is, for the love of all that is good, vote in November. Please get to the polls. Please cast your vote.
Yes. I'm also of the camp of be an educated voter. Don't just vote because you saw some celebrity tell you to do XYZ. Don't just vote because you saw a tweet from somebody that you maybe didn't agree with. Like, actually,
I believe,
figure out what matters to you. And what matters to you may be very different what matters to me.
Yeah.
But the best part about being American is you get to vote about what matters to you. And your voice counts just as much as mine does.
Yeah, I believe in the, if we could get 80 to 90% of the folks to vote, I believe in the outcome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I believe. So it's just, again, I don't proclaim to be a Democrat or a Republican. I want you to vote.
Yes. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version. Next week, or this coming week, County Line Country Fest.
Yeah, so I think last year we were live from there, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah, we should probably do that again.
We should probably do that again, yeah. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version from Dunkin' Donuts and Prairie du Chien.